Hello, everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, actor, and Grammy winner, Harry Styles.
This week on episode 11, we're going to discuss the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards.
Yay! My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week?
I'm internet famous. Okay, so listeners, your humble podcast host on the night of the Grammys, as God intended, got a little bit drunk, went over to his friend's house, watched the Grammys, and right after Harry's performance in his cute little outfit, there was an image posted up online. It was a close-up shot of his chest hair framed by leather and a boa, and then his cross necklace and a banana.
Iconic photograph.
Iconic photograph. The caption was, "Banana dick necklace comeback." And drunk me said, "I have a clever idea," and tweeted, "Representing the three main C's, chest, cock, and Christ, we're earning our explicit rating today." At the time of recording, so earlier this morning, it said it had 1,300 likes, which is obscene. At the time of recording, I don't know if Twitter suspended some of those Harrys, but it has 960 now, which is a lot. And I just
wait,
feel
so
like,
we're doing a whole section about you going viral on the internet and it doesn't have 1,000 likes.
It had over 1,000 at the time, and
Listeners,
I felt very famous.
We are all just sitting in judgment.
I felt very famous seeing that go up like that. It was just crazy because it was just a dumb little joke. But listeners, I felt very viral. I didn't mean literally.
Is your life different now? Are you too popular for the podcast now? Like, we have to say goodbye to you for more exciting things.
I'm a millionaire and I'm cisgender now.
All right. Well, in terms of blaming Harry, I am blaming Harry for the lack of sleep that I got last night, which I'm sure is something that I share with many of our listeners. So yeah, so we're recording this on Monday night, the night after the Grammys, and I think I'm running on 3 hours of sleep, 3.5, 4.
Oh my God.
I had a job interview today and I had to get up and prep for that. And so yeah, didn't get that much sleep.
We're all manifesting for Key. We need to manifest that Key gets this job.
Well,
it's gonna
happen. I don't know if I want it, but it's always nice for the interview to go well. So yeah, yes. So I blame Harry for that. And I'm also thankful because it was a very fun night, which we will get into right now.
Yeah, so we thought that we were going to go chronologically through the night, and then we'll talk about some of how the elements wrap up together at the end.
Yeah, and kind of just our overall thoughts on the awards show, you know, some non-Harry things that jumped out at us, what we enjoyed, stuff like that.
So Key, prior to the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards, how were you spending your evening?
Yeah, so what I should have been doing was prepping for my job interview so that I didn't have to stay up till 5:45 in the morning and do that after the Grammy Awards, but I didn't do that. So what I did do was I went to Qdoba and I got some nachos, and I came back to my apartment, and I was prepared to watch the Grammys red carpet. So I had this plan. I was like, it's my favorite food, going to eat these nachos, going to watch the Grammys red carpet, it's going to be so fun. And instead, what happened was chaos, which is, I guess I've never paid that much attention. Like, you know, before, you know, you just turn on E! Or whatever, and they're just doing red carpet coverage, and I just never cared that much. I didn't pay that much attention. So I didn't really understand the chaos of it. There were, like, multiple live streams, and they were each covering different things. So I had, like, three different tabs open, and it was just a lot happening. And then, as our listeners I'm sure will know, Harry did not show up.
He didn't show up!
Really wasted my nachos. I wish that I'd saved my nachos for the actual Grammys instead of the red carpet, but who could have predicted? Not me.
Did you like watching the red carpet anyway?
You know, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was a little overwhelming. If I had known prior that Harry was not going to show, I probably would have just Googled Grammy's red carpet looks and experienced it that way and probably enjoyed it more. But how about you? What was your pre-Grammys experience?
Well, I guess my earliest pre-Grammys experience was learning through my DMs that Harry's music video for Adore You lost to Beyonce's Brown Skin Girl, as the podcast host said that it should have.
In the third person, as we said, yeah, as you will know from our predictions episode.
Yes, as you will know from our predictions episode, if you listened, you can still listen to it now if you really want to.
Yeah, not much point. That episode has a really short shelf life, but thank you for those who enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for listening to it. And if you ever listen to it in the future for the plot, I mean, go for it. My start to the Grammys night, I took a nice long walk to my best friend's house and brought over some little treats that I got from Trader Joe's, and we ordered some pizza and cracked open a bottle of wine, and then we opened the live stream on YouTube, and it was just people who were talking, and we didn't get to see the whole fits of the outfits, and I was like, this is weird, but we genuinely just like watched that and like judged people's outfits from it, and I was like, Harry might come, I don't know. I was seeing on the timeline that people were looking at three different streams, and we had gone back and forth. We had eventually changed to a second stream, but like, I was not as frenzied as some of the other people, I think, who were really going through it. We kind of gave up between the two streams, and then when Harry didn't show up, I was like, well, we watched that. I had a good time, though, watching it. There were some people that I liked seeing their outfits, and I don't know, I didn't think it was a waste of time, but I was also getting drunk at the same time, so yeah,
that helps.
That helped the enjoyment of it.
Yeah, I'll say, so people were saying, you know, because Harry was opening the show, if he was going to show up at the red carpet, it would be early, so I kind of thought, you know, after a little while, like, okay, he's probably not going to show, because it got to be at a certain point where I'm like, all right, that makes no sense, like, clearly he's not going to like sprint from the carpet to the stage. But as we will get to later, I think, yeah, when we discuss his second look, which ended up being his red carpet look, I think it also just makes sense that he didn't walk the carpet. So we can talk about that more when we get to the breakdown of that outfit in particular. But, you know, now that we know with context what his red carpet look was, I do think it kind of makes sense that he didn't walk the carpet prior to the performance.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like a very important detail, since now we're talking chronologically, we're between the red carpet and the show, where, as our listeners will know, there was a half hour. I feel like, crucially, our listeners should know that me and my best friend went onto YouTube and typed in the Mountain Goats Jordan Lake sessions and listened to This Year and No Children, and did that as our setup to the Grammy Awards. You can judge me and my character however you want from that, if you're aware of the Mountain Goats. And if you're not, look them up. They're great.
Wow. Really didn't expect a Mountain Goats plug early in our Grammys pod, but expect the unexpected here at We Blame Harry Styles.
Do you stan the goats, Key?
Do I stan? No. Have I heard a Mountain Goats song? Maybe. I couldn't swear to that fact. I have nothing against the Mountain Goats, but you'll have to be my introduction point at some point or another. But at this moment in time, no, I do not stan.
You'll stan the goats someday. Okay. Yeah, so going into the Grammys, I guess, what were you expecting of the show itself?
Yeah, so we touched on this in last week's episode. I kind of thought that it would be a good show, just from like what Ben Winston had described in his interview, I think, with Rolling Stone about the setup of the show. We knew what to expect. We knew it was going to be kind of like a Jules Holland style, like artists kind of set up in a circle performing to each other. So I kind of thought that that could work really well. And yeah, I guess we can just get into our overall thoughts about the show now, because it's kind of like a nice time to say that. I thought it was really good, and I thought it worked really well. And maybe we can, you know, touch on that throughout as we touch on the show chronologically. But yeah, I expected the setup to kind of work well. It sounded like it was going to be better than some of the other awards shows have been so far this year. And yeah, I thought it was planned out really well. I thought it was produced really well. And I enjoyed it. How about you?
Yeah, I thought I didn't know what to think it was going to be like going in, because all of the award shows I've seen thus far have had pretty cursed energy. But I went in with high hopes. Mostly I just wanted to see Harry perform, and I wanted to see some other musicians perform. And I definitely got, you know, what I came for. One thing that happened during the night was they didn't actually hand out that many awards, which was very funny.
Yeah, they really didn't. We were like an hour in, they'd handed out like one award.
They'd handed out one, and, you know, we were getting tired. My best friend, she especially gets tired very early in the evening. And so, and my contacts were drying out and I was tired. So we're getting to like 11 o'clock and we're like, they haven't handed out that many awards. Are there like more awards happening? So I actually didn't see till the total end of the show. I left her house after Taylor Swift won Album of the Year.
Yeah, so that was towards the end.
Yeah, so I saw most of it.
Yeah, I missed a couple towards the beginning because of, well, obviously I didn't miss Harry's, but a couple following Harry's I missed. But yeah, I caught the entire rest of the show. And yeah, I was impressed with how it was set up. And I thought it was really good. Yeah, there are a lot of awkward moments that award shows usually have were missed. There weren't any like people trying to do comedy bits as they hand out each individual award, like stuff like that was avoided, which I thought was good. It was about the music, and there was a lot of really good music performed, and yeah, I appreciated it. So in terms of Harry's number specifically, there had been a lot of talk online before he performed about like, oh, he's gonna do a medley, like, oh, this and that is gonna happen, blah blah blah, and we, you know, discussed on our previous podcast, like I was pretty confident he was going to do Watermelon Sugar, so wasn't surprised at all that that is what occurred. And yeah, I'm always like wary of internet rumors when it comes to things like this. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And I feel like there's a little lesson in there somewhere about internet accounts and the expectations that they set up. But I think, you know, Harry was not nominated in any of the general categories. So I think it would have been a shock. Like, I would have been very shocked if he, like, opened the show with, like, a three-song medley. So I wasn't disappointed at all that that's not what we got.
Yeah, I definitely understand. I mean, he was nominated for Best Pop Song for that specific song. So it does make sense that he would then sing that song. I am not a Watermelon Sugar hater. And I noticed that many people who have been hating on Watermelon Sugar got awfully quiet after last night. So perhaps I have taste and they don't, question mark.
Wow, shots fired. Yeah, but so let's get into his performance. So first of all, the fit. So the fit actually leaked, which I was like really annoyed by. Like, it kind of crushes me that the first time that we saw the outfit was like a blurry photo that like a random person posts on social media, so I kind of hate that. But it looked blue, like
it did look
like
blue.
Yeah, I was like, a blue leather outfit with like a green scarf was like what I was thinking it was, and I was like, interesting. So that was strange to kind of have seen it beforehand.
It was a hornier outfit than it was in the blurry photo.
yes, and so I think so. Like, so I guess maybe the best way to do it is to talk about, you know, do you mind if I just kind of get into my thoughts about the performance overall and like in kind of conjunction with the outfit?
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
Yeah, so to me, like, I thought it was a good performance. I thought he did start out to me, though, a little nervous, though. And I feel like I could kind of feel that. And that makes total sense. It's like his first Grammys performance. He's opening the Grammys. And then it kind of started heating up in more ways than one when he took off the boa. And he kind of started dancing around, and then you could tell he was like having more fun with it, and he was like smiling, laughing as he was dancing around stage and singing the song and stuff. And so I thought the performance definitely got stronger as it went along. I think it was a good performance. I think it was a solid performance. My mom said, and I quote, she texted me at the time saying, "Harry's first song at the Grammys, nailed it. So, so cute. And what a bod." So those are thoughts from my mother. So yeah, I think it was really well received. It seems like people really liked the performance. I liked the performance. I wasn't, and listeners, don't come for me, you know, these are my honest thoughts. I wasn't like blown away by it, you know. I was more struck by the outfit than the performance itself. I thought the arrangement was good. I really liked the bass addition in the arrangement and like the changes made there. But overall, I thought it was a good performance. I thought it was solid, a solid opening to the night. And it was interesting to see kind of, too, that the set aspect of it was kind of stripped down, too, in comparison to a lot of other performances that night. So I'm interested to see, like, I did keep the focus on him and the performers, which I thought was nice. And it's probably better for the opener to not do, like, a big, you know, set, to just start with, like, a musical performance that just is a musical performance. Yeah, so I liked it. I thought it was a good opener. But I you know, I feel like because we've seen him perform the song before, and again, don't come for me. I didn't come away from the performance being like, oh my God, this is the best thing he's ever done. You know what I mean?
I don't, because it was one of the best things that he's ever done. I mean, like,
I'm glad we disagree.
Maybe not like vocally, But like in terms of the energy of it.
Oh yeah, he was fucking hot as hell.
Oh my god.
Like it's definitely up there for the hottest performances that he's ever done. That's
right. Yeah, exactly. It's not that it was like a stellar like a vocal performance. Like he did good and the band sounded, you know, great. Like I'm always expecting them to be on point. Mm-hmm. But I think that Grindr said it best, feeling severely H-word for Harry Styles.
That did seem to be the takeaway of the night on that one.
Yeah, I think that one thing I really liked about the musical aspect of their performance was that break in the middle where they stopped and he did a little dance break and there was like a riff that we hadn't heard before. I kind of low-key...
Yeah, that's that bass part.
This is going to sound kind of silly, but I hadn't heard that before. And I was like, is Harry transitioning into a song that we haven't heard before?
Rip. Yeah.
Yeah.
That did not happen.
It did not happen. He did his dance break and then went back to Watermelon Sugar as usual. But for a second, I was like, whoa, what's happening here?
I didn't mention the dance break was great. And I did enjoy that a lot. And seeing him in that leather outfit do that little bit of choreography with the backup singers was delightful, and I heartily enjoyed that. As I said, I think the performance really picked up as it went along, and so I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah, shout out to, I guess we can take this moment to kind of shout out the performers that performed with him in this opening number.
Yeah, so the lineup for the evening, after a little digging, was Mitch Rowland on the guitar, Sarah Jones, and Sarah Jones' progeny on the drums.
Congratulations to Mitch and Sarah.
Congratulations! Nye on the keys. Welcome back, Nye. Spencer Ludwig on the trumpet. Okay, so on the sax, there was a person named Josh, according to Molly Hawkins, Harry's creative director. I searched around in her follows and the comments for Josh, and there are no Joshes that follow Molly Hawkins, no Joshes who liked the post or commented on it.
Wow, you really went in on that research.
Yeah, I searched in Google and on Instagram for Josh saxophone and didn't find anybody who looked like the photograph.
Yeah, so sorry to Josh, sorry to this man, but your last name is not getting a shout out on this podcast, but you did a great job in the performance.
You did amazing, and I wish I knew who you were, but there's just too many Joshes who play the saxophone. And then rounding it out with India Sean on vocals, Elena on vocals, they both played with Harry at the Jingle Bell Ball. And then Blood Oranges, Dev Hines is on bass, and he also did some musical directing, so that was awesome. Yeah. So like a fantastic little lineup. Just everybody did a really great job. Like,
yeah. It was great to see everybody too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Mitch and Sarah and the crew, and so that was a great little moment to see everybody clad in leather performing at the Grammys.
It was. It's just amazing. It's just been too long, you know?
Yeah. So I'm proud of him, proud of his performance. I can't imagine how hard it must be to open the Grammys.
Oh my God, I know.
I would be, I can't imagine how nerve-wracking that would be. I think he did a really good job. So do you want to dive a little bit more deeply into this outfit?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. So all of his outfits that night were custom Gucci. So this outfit was a leather suit. And then he had the boa that he's wearing is fake fur. It's not feathers.
Yeah. So here's my little weird feelings about this boa. And I don't know, listeners, you might think I'm like completely crazy when I say this. But when I was growing up and I would go to like fairs or like school events, for prizes a lot of the times they would have these fluffy hats, and they were like top hats, but they had like fur. It was like fur or hair coming out of them, and this texture of fabric just really took me back to those purple fluffy hats that I remember. And I don't know how I don't think I love the texture of the boa, I'll say that, but
The texture of the boa I have seen is polarizing. I am neutral on it. I just think it's really fun that he was wearing a lot of boas. And I feel like it seems like a fake fur boa would be sturdier than a feather one, you know?
Yeah. And I think a feather one might look cheap too.
Right, exactly.
So I can understand why they didn't go with that. But yeah, I don't know if I love the texture of it, but I do. I think, like I said, the performance really kind of heats up when he throws it off. I saw a couple articles mentioned too that people didn't know, and I don't think I knew that he was just like shirtless underneath the.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, underneath the jacket, and then he took the boa off, and then it was like, oh, it's out.
Yeah.
And so that was a fun moment. So I liked that the boa facilitated that. And yeah, we can get, when we get to the end of kind of all the looks, we can discuss how they all work together in the bow and stuff like that. But I loved the leather suit. I thought it looked so good. I thought it looked so hot.
I bet he was so sweaty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, but it was worth it. He looked really, really good. Yeah, this was a powerhouse look.
I thought that Thrillist had a really great description of his outfit. They said, he wore a custom Gucci leather suit paired with a lime green boa, a phallic banana necklace, and a whole lot of gold rings.
If that doesn't say Harry Styles, what does?
After a year in quarantine, his rock star fit and gyrating hips proved to be especially overwhelming for Twitter, where everyone was very horny for Harry.
Accurate.
Yeah, real accurate. Harry Lampert did an interview with Vogue magazine because he's awesome. And this is what he had to say about the look. I think people could assume, as he is performing his single Watermelon Sugar, his look will reflect the music video. We wanted to twist that on its head and go for something darker, sexier, and more unexpected. I don't feel that anyone has seen Harry dressed like this before. So the Grammys felt like the perfect moment to do this. It's sort of a full stop after the promotion of the Fine Line album campaign. For stage, it's sexy, minimal, a bit eccentric, but still fun.
Yeah, so I definitely think that that's true. I think I really admire their tendency to go with the unexpected and to try, unexpected and original things. And that was definitely this. It definitely became a thing. Like, everybody's talking about the boa.
Mm-hmm. I would say that my teenage self with a boa is quaking. I remember when I was, I'm a little old. As somebody who was on Twitter once, who saw that we had a podcast, who was like 16, referred to me, I am an old, too old, in fact, to have a Harry Styles podcast. Thanks for that one. And so my high school years were in like Lady Gaga's like prime years. And so the little person who saw Lady Gaga dress in like crazy outfits and wore like some flamboyant stuff to school, I would have been all over this boa. I would have gone out and immediately got one and worn it to school and like took pictures and kind of embarrassed myself.
Love that.
So I think that's something that really makes me feel very fond of it, because I definitely see my, like, my younger self loving the look so much and, like, wanting to copy it.
Yeah, I love that.
I kind of want to copy it now, but I don't really have anywhere to put it now. When you're young, you're in school and you can do, you know, there's dress codes, but there's a lot you can wear a feather boa if you want to. Yeah, so I think I definitely love the boa for that reason. But I also love that it gave it this reveal to his two necklaces. How do you feel about him exchanging his pearls for the banana necklace, which it seems is his new object that he's just going to wear until it breaks?
I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I love that this time a lot of articles pointed it out. I didn't see, I guess, last time when he wore it, that much coverage of it. And I saw a lot of coverage of it this time, which I'm enjoying. And all the different ways that articles will phrase what to call it, which is fun. I totally agree. Like, the reveal aspect of the performance I thought was really strong. So that I really liked about it. And yeah, again, I'm struggling too. I'm not like negative on it. It's just for me, like, I don't know. I'm weird with textures, and I don't know if I can quite get past the I don't know if that's like a really weird thing to say, but I can't quite get past it. But I do, you know, in some of these pictures it looks awesome, and I do love when Harry Lampert discusses like that tad of eccentricity that is kind of a staple for Harry's looks. I think, yeah, I can definitely see that, and I love that through line through basically almost every event that he attends, which is great.
Yeah, I think that he's always going to have his outfits, I think, will always be a little polarizing because he does always go, you know, a little bit outside the expected. Yeah. But I will say, Key, that if you don't like every single one of Harry Lambert's looks in a way that you would wear yourself, then we're going to have to just find a new co-host of the podcast.
I know.
Going to have to replace you.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm sure that we can find another co-host. My mom is available, evidently, from the text that she sent me about this opening performance. So,
listeners, Key edits this podcast. I am far more replaceable, so Key's not going anywhere. Okay, so do you have anything else you want to say about his performance?
Oh, yeah. I guess just, you know, you touched on this when you read Harry Lambert's quote, but I do think it's interesting that, like, the fashion in the Watermelon Sugar video is, like, pretty iconic and is and fits so well with that song. And but, like he said, like, we've seen it before.
Yeah.
And so it just makes me excited. You know, I love, you know, even if certain things really hit for me and certain things hit mildly for me, I never, like, dislike anything that Harry Lambert has ever put Harry in. Nothing ever, like, straight up doesn't work for me. But, you know, certain things I'm hotter on than others. But it does, it's just exciting to be surprised as things move forward. And, you know, we like to, on this podcast, like, we've done it a few times, try and predict how things are going to work out. And what's so great about Harry working with Harry Lambert in this way and the way that they work together is that it's really hard to predict because they just love taking left turns and surprising us. So that's really fun.
Yeah, any of my guesses about what he would have worn to this event were wrong. So actually, I did think I called a Gucci look for
you
performance.
Did. Yeah, I think you said custom Gucci. Yeah,
but I did call a Stephen Stokey Daily collaboration, and that did not occur. I feel like my manifestation skills are like I never get all of it, but I do get some of it.
Some is better than none, but yeah. Great job, Harold. It was just so, it's so special. Like the Grammys, I was saying, you know, the night before the Grammys happened, I was like, it's just now hitting me for some reason how big this could be for him. And fuck, like opening the Grammys, he was talked about so much. Like I think people are saying that like, he was the number one most talked about celebrity on social media post the Grammys. And yeah, boy, does he know how to generate a conversation.
Proud of him. I mean, it's interesting because, like, I mean, there were, like, lots and lots and lots of good performances, but Harry's was the first, and he was really good. And so I feel like that's part of why it generated conversation. Like, people who were, like, in the weeds, like, there was a point where Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, they definitely did WAP or a version of it on network television. That was quite obscene, and I definitely turned to my friend, and I was like, did they just, because they were in some positions that were...
Let's just say, listener, they scissored.
we'll go right for it. Yeah, so there was some light lesbianing going on the TV, and and I turned to my best friend, and I was like, so they can't say pussy, but they can do. And she's like, I mean, I guess it's after 10 o'clock. So
honestly, with WAP and Watermelon Sugar, certain oral activities really had the spotlight at this year's Grammy Awards.
Oh my God, I know. I think that I saw a post that was like, is Watermelon Sugar the first song about cunnilingus to ever win a Grammy Award?
I would, yeah, somebody do the research on that, because I bet it's not, but I don't have the forewithal to do the research on that.
This episode is really winning its explicit rating.
Listen, we do put an explicit rating on it. I apologize if there are some people for whom that is not appropriate, for that language is not appropriate, but you all saw the Grammys, you saw the performance, you know what it is.
You know what it is. We all saw them. And it was great. Trevor Noah really liked the WAP performance.
He really did.
He really did. He went on stage and he was cheering and I was like...
Yeah, he enjoyed
it. It's okay. Yeah, no. Unfortunately, this is not We Blame Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. This is We Blame Harry Styles. So we'll seg back into when they were finally announcing some awards. So, Key, tell me, did Harry win any awards?
So this was like, if you listen to our Grammy Predictions episode, you would know that we sadly predicted that Harry would win nothing. Grammys. And I could not be more thrilled to have been wrong about that. He won a Grammy, you guys. I mean, you all know it. We led the podcast with it. Grammy led winner Harry Styles. Absolutely insane. He won Best Pop Solo Performance.
It's so funny because I had told my friend when I went over to her house, I was like, I want to watch this, but I don't think he's going to win anything, but it's going to be fun. And then the announcements for the award came on and I was like, oh, this is Harold's. They announced this is Best Pop Solo Performance. And I was like, oh, we need to come on, manifest Harry. And then they were like, Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like sitting alone in my room watching it on my laptop. And I audibly was like, holy shit. It was so fun. It was like such a fun moment. And you could tell that like Harry was so shocked too. Mm-hmm. He was just like sitting there like in shock. And Jeff had to like shove him and be like, it's you. Like, get up there.
It's you. Oh my God.
Because it's just what, like, it wasn't what was predicted. Like, we didn't think he was going to come away with nothing because we don't think he deserves anything. It's because, you know, certain sites do Grammys predictions and there's like talk about who people think is most likely. And he just wasn't the most likely. So it was such a fun upset and like such an exciting moment in the night that I just like didn't anticipate. It was so much fun.
It was so fun. I was really like, because I wasn't predicting it and because I was like manifesting when it happened, I was like, what? I was like losing my mind. So then Harry went up on the stage and he picked up his Grammy with two fingers and then he gently put it back down and then he gave his speech. He talked a little bit about the history of recording Watermelon Sugar, how it was recorded first and recorded in Nashville. He thanked a bunch of people, Tom and Tyler and Mitch, Rob Stringer, Columbia, and then he swore.
I didn't even know that happened, right? Because, like, my broadcast cut out, and I was like, that was weird. Like, I wonder what happened with that. I thought, oh, maybe he swore. It, like, occurred in the back of my mind. But I didn't, like, I was like, oh, maybe my internet cut out. Like, I didn't really understand what happened. And then people had to tell me later, like, no, this is what he said.
So apparently his words were, all of these songs are so fucking massive. And they cut the whole sentence that he said.
Yeah, but I would imagine because there's probably a slight, probably how it works, right? To allow them to cut things like that happened because that was not the only time in the night that occurred, there's like a slight delay, right? So I'm sure they don't have time in that brief delay to like cut specific words. So they're probably just like, okay, just do it. Like, silence it for that part because they're on the cuff, right? And it's happening
absolutely
in real time.
I also feel like it's also they do it just in case the artist swears again. They're like, is Harry Styles going to swear a second time?
It was very Kristen Stewart at SNL in that they both own my heart and I was very endeared by it. I thought particularly, so like when I saw it later, you know, and there's other people with clips of him saying it live, it just feels very like British rock star to me. That might sound dumb to say, but just like, what I will say is that like, you could tell based on this speech that he didn't expect to win this award and it just felt like very genuine. And very, like, wow, I can't believe that this happened. And that was just another one of those moments where I was like, it just slipped out. And he just, like, felt it so much in the moment, which I was very endeared to.
Yeah, it was very, very endearing. Especially because he didn't shout, all these songs are fucking massive. That's kind of why, like, a bunch of people were like, did he? Because it was a very understated swear. Just very appreciative of the moment. And then he left the stage without his award.
But wasn't there talk, like, I was unclear because I think this happened at a different point in the night too, where like there was some questions about like, were they supposed to take it, was the one that was there ceremonial?
I
it was unclear to me, but I do love the idea that he just forgot because he was just so in the moment that it just slipped his mind, which is exactly what I would do if I was in that situation.
Yeah,
I
guarantee me you. Too. Do you want to talk about his outfit?
Yes. Let us talk about this outfit, which is, as I'm sure everybody is aware, the pink, purple, yellow, and brown ensemble. There's a lot there.
There's a lot going on. And I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. Here's how I feel. Kind of similar to my other feelings, except this to me is like, so first of all, I am kind of glad that he didn't walk the red carpet in this look without seeing the first performance look, because I think it makes much more sense after he's already won a Grammy and he's already performed once in a sexy leather suit. I enjoy it. I think it's fun, especially because in a lot of the images that we got, he's just like having a great time. Like even in a lot of the red carpet images, he's just like smiling really huge. And so it's just like very cute and very fun. And so I felt that aspect of it. There's like an amazing photo of him and Lizzo. There's like a bunch of photos of him and Lizzo. I just love him and Lizzo. And we got a wonderful reoccurrence of their relationship that has carried us through from the Brits this past year. And their outfits like sort of were matching. It was probably unintentional, but I appreciated that two of their outfits kind of were color coordinated. Yeah, so I just am very endeared to this outfit by all of the photos that we got that accompanied it. And it's fun. And we'll get into, you know, what Harry Lambert said about it later, but just on its own without that context, it is, you know, it's eccentric. It's not really like, would I wear this? No, but I also don't look like Harry Styles. Well, I'll say this. What this outfit says most to me is that when you look like Harry Styles,
you can wear anything.
You can wear anything and you look great. And it's true. Like, yeah, I mean, they make decisions knowing that. And it's like extremely true. Like he just has the charm and the charisma and the good looks to pull it off. And so I do think he mostly pulled it off. But if, you know, if somebody were to say to me, I don't think this works, like I would understand.
I think that it is hard because I don't think that I would look good in this, but I do think that he just looks like he's just having such a good time in it. And I do I do have a special fondness for clashing patterns, I will say. Like, I do have a particular fondness for that. I used to wear some similar clashing patterns things. So I do have an appreciation for a clashing pattern, and I do like the colors. I guess I love it as a piece of art that Harry's wearing. I don't know if I love it for like regular wear, I do appreciate the fit in this context. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think too, like the boa is tough for me on this look. I think because again, like we said before, I'm like a weirdo about texture, and it just, I'm like looking at it, I'm not crazy about the texture of the boa. I think this outfit would work totally fine for me without it. Like, I wouldn't have any qualms about it at all. I think the yellow is cute. I really like the yellow boots that he's got on. I think that's a really cute look. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at a photo of it right now, and I'm thinking he's adorable, and he's pulling it off.
I would probably try.
He's working it.
if I had anywhere to go, I miss having fits.
Yeah, but let's get into some of the stuff that Harry Lambert said about it, because that can kind of lend some more context to this discussion of the outfit as well.
Yeah, definitely. So Harry Lambert said, it was also important to us all that the silhouette for the stage was the same as the red carpet, but that the actual looks felt polar opposites, one being patterned and vibrant, the other being more slick and sexy. This is Harry's first Grammys, so we wanted to do something that felt British and eccentric, a little bit rock and roll and a little bit camp. I hope we did this with a mix of the tweed and the boa, which is Britishness, rock and roll, and camp all rolled into one.
Yeah, so this, like, this totally makes sense to me, like this description of this outfit, especially with the tweed, with the patterns, the British rock and roll aesthetic that he's describing here. Like, I look at this outfit and I'm like, yeah, I can see how those things fit together. Yeah, I'll just say what he's describing makes sense to me, even if, like, when I first saw this look, I don't know if that's what I would immediately think. Like, I don't know if that would clock to me, whether it's like the leather suit, like, I, like, when you see that, you know what they're going for. It's sexy rock and roll, like, and that's obvious looking at it. With this that doesn't, like, the British aesthetic of it didn't jump out at me. But now that he says that, I can kind of put that in context and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I also think it's hilarious that he was wearing this outfit when he won his first Grammy. And I do love that.
Yeah,
that's very fun to me.
It is very delightful.
And now, because I don't doubt that he will go on to win more Grammys in the future, hopefully. And we will be able to show those pictures side by side. And this will be forever the one of him winning his first Grammy. And I do love that.
It is nice. We'll be able to see Harry Styles at the Grammy Awards over the years. Okay, and so finally, the last outfit that we saw him in was an orange getup. Do you want to talk about that, Key?
Sure, yeah. So this actually, to me, really worked. I don't know if the boa is a different texture entirely or if just because it's black, it like doesn't read the same to me. But I am not bothered by the texture of this boa at all. I think this outfit works really well together. Yeah, so it's like the orange. It's the similar kind of aesthetic, right, with the blazer and the plaid pants and the black boa. I think he looks great in this outfit. I kind of think it is a softer, less clashing version of the second outfit. And so in that respect, even though it's not quite as, you know, fun in that it's not as out there, it is more pleasing to the eye. So maybe that's a boring ass opinion, but I like this outfit a lot.
No, I like it. I like it. I guess I don't have much to say. It looks good. I like that. I want to see these photographs because this is like from a gift set on the online. And so somebody was taking a photograph, but we don't have the photographs that they were taking.
Of him holding his Grammy. Those photos, as of recording of the pod, are not yet out.
I was telling Key earlier, I was joking that this is going to be in his HS3 profile that's coming out at the end of this month.
Still on that beat.
I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm still beating that drum, you know? Yeah, so it was like, because you were like, when will we get these pics? What are they waiting for? And I was like, for when you least expect it. Like, I do think that they're just going to drop it. Whenever.
I think we'll get him soon. I think there's been an amazing, like, you know, he pretty recently, like not that long before we are recording this podcast, Harry tweeted a beautiful photo with Dev Hynes and Mitch where they're kind of flanking him both in the leather looks, which is just like, I'm obsessed with the composition of that photo. Like, it's just such a cool photo. And they all look so great. And so, Harry, let me join your leather squad, please.
Yes.
But yeah, so we've kind of been getting this trickling of photos. Like, Alessandra posted some really good photos of the leather look. So I think probably just throughout, as time goes on, maybe we'll see these pictures, hopefully, maybe. But if they crop up in a Rolling Stone photo or in a Rolling Stone profile imminently, you really will have the powers of manifestation.
Yes. And let me tell you, I have an idea for how this Rolling Stone profile is going to go. I sent this to Key earlier, and I still am really amused, and I'm going to use it to seg into a conversation about something that Harry Lambert said in the interview. Yeah, that Key thinks we are overanalyzing.
I'm really going to be the downer on this episode. Guys, I'm fun. I swear I'm fun.
Okay, so my message to Key, I said, I'm telling you, okay, the picture's going to be released within a month. And it's going to be in a profile that's like fresh off of a Grammy Award between the shooting of two films, socially distanced but warm. I met Harry Styles looking bright as ever wearing his now infamous phallic necklace. And the article is titled something like, Harry Styles says glam rock is back.
It is certainly a vision. And that sounds like a Rolling Stone headline to me. Mm-hmm. But feel free to describe the quote that has resulted in this thought process that I'm not quite convinced by.
Oh, yeah. So in the article, we kind of gave some of the quote about this before, but there was a little bit of editorializing that the author did and said, in the place of the watermelon sugar outfit was a glam rock influenced vibe that signaled the start of a new era. And continuing on to that, Harry Lambert had said, it is sort of a full stop after the promotion of the Fine Line album. So now a lot of people on Harry Twitter are speculating that HS3 is going to have glam rock leather vibes. Key, what do you think?
To me, this is like when people after the Met Gala were like, HS2 is going to be like a dark romantic aesthetic because of what he wore to the Met Gala, which is like, I think what he meant by this quote was just that, like, I think it definitely it's the end of the era and like that mm-hmm. totally makes sense. But I don't think that that has bearing really. Not that I would dislike it. Like, I'm totally mm-hmm. here for it as like a harbinger of what might come. But yeah, I definitely was not reading into this quote as much as other mm-hmm. people were. But there's no harm in that, and I'm glad people were having fun with it.
I don't think that the Met Gala is a great comparison if you're trying to argue against it, because I do think that the Met Gala kind of feeds into Fine Line very neatly, even if it wasn't what people were exactly expecting. It's very much like the blurring of, you know, gender and like the concepts that Harry used during the Fine Line campaign, particularly in fashion. So I don't know. It seems like you're more arguing for the case than against it.
Okay, now it's my turn in the debate, and then you can give a rebuttal. I it's possible. Like, I think what you said in that you know, that look was kind of a feminine look, a combination of the masculine and the feminine, which was weaved throughout his looks for the Fine Line era. I agree, but I think that's kind of just going to be what he wears going forwards. I'm not so sure that you might say that I won't deny that the Met Gala maybe provided a little bit of a taste, but mm-hmm. I think the idea that we can look at these looks from tonight and predict what the aesthetic of the next era is going to be, I think is not the case. I think they're going to surprise us again. And we might be able to retroactively track certain elements to that new aesthetic. But I don't think that we can look at these looks and be like, it's going to be glam rock and it's going to be in leather the whole time. Like, I just don't think that that's like, again, I could be wrong. I'm into the leather. I'd be into it. But yeah. I don't think it's so much of a straight line as that.
Yeah, I do think that that presupposes that Harry would have, I don't know, he's much more of like a flexible fashion person than only doing leather for an entire era. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, I don't think that he would be wearing leather to every single thing, because that's just not like what he does. So if he does do a glam rock era, I'm curious about like what other aspects of it he would pull. I particularly really like, there's like a lot of like glittery stuff from that era. I mean, I would love if Harry really indulged in some glitter, because I don't really feel like that's an aesthetic that he's pulled in from. Like, lots of, like, sequins, yeah. And I'm thinking particularly of this image of Mick Jagger in his glam rock phase. He did, like, a lot of glitter and, like, that sort of thing. So I would love to see him do that, but I guess we'll, only time will tell.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But now, so that we've kind of walked through these three looks, oh, I will say, so one other thing about this look, which I just thought was funny, I think somebody, I forget who it was, so I apologize to the person who said this to me, I think somebody had mentioned to me on Twitter that it just looks good with the Grammy, and it looks better mm-hmm. with the Grammy than the previous look would have. So mm-hmm. I don't know if this was done by design, or if they just had a third look planned for the night, or if he spilled something on the second one. They had a wrap of clothes, so it's interesting to me that he changed a third time. And I find very amusing the idea that they changed the outfit so that it would look better and not distract as much from the Grammy itself in the Grammy photos. I find that very funny and amusing.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so any miscellanea of the night that you want to talk about, Key?
Yeah, so we just got so many great photos from last night. A particular one that emerges for me, we already talked about that Hizzo photo, the Harry and Lizzo photo, which is just so cute. My favorite one of those is the one where Lizzo is doing the peace sign over Harry's head. They just are so adorable together, and I love them. And we also got this great photo of Harry and Jeff, where Harry's just really leaning in there and giving Jeff a good old kiss on the cheek. And yeah, whatever photographer was there, thank you, because there were just so many great little moments like that of that night that were captured.
Yeah, there were so many, like, the photographer who was photographing the people there, they just caught so much good stuff about Harry. Just, like, it was so funny. It reminded me of the Brits when he was walking around to all the tables and saying hi to everybody. He did that yesterday, too.
Yeah, which, you know, kind of went against the whole purpose of them all sitting socially distanced from each other, but
I'm sure that Harry is tested and that they tested everybody.
I'm sure everybody there was tested, but it was fun to see, you know, those little moments. And I think too, that was a great thing that I really liked too about this awards show. We didn't touch on that earlier in the podcast, but when, you know, Billie Eilish was performing and you could see Harry bopping along, and when he was singing along to another artist, little moments like that you could kind of see throughout the night, I thought were fun. So seeing the Jeff and Harry friendship on full display was a good time. Yeah, little moments like that throughout the night were fun. And then just some other Grammy things overall. I just want to shout out some other performances that I like. I will say, so one of my top moments of the night was Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce accepting their award together. I really thought that this was kind of the Megan Thee Stallion Grammys.
She really was
the star of the show. And that was fun to see. She's very charming and very genuine. And so I loved that moment with her and Beyonce. I thought Silk Sonic's performance I enjoyed. Doja Cat's performance I thought was really good. Taylor's performance, when Taylor was just like, and suddenly there was like a house and it was like covered in moss. And then there was like a cabin and she was like in the cabin and her band was there. I was just so captivated by that set. Like, the set designer did a good job for that one.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, Silk Sonic was amazing. I'm always happy to see Bruno Mars just, like, in the cultural consciousness. When he was singing, I remember, like, turning to my best friend, and I was just like, I don't think that Bruno Mars is, like, my favorite artist in the world. But every time I see him, I'm just so happy that he's around and, like, here and still making music. He makes me so happy.
Yeah, he's fun. Yeah, it was a good performance by them. Yeah, so those are kind of my top moments of the night. Obviously, the ultimate top moment of the night is Harry winning a Grammy for Watermelon Sugar. No contest there, as I'm sure everybody will agree. Performance is great. That emerges as a top moment for me too. But it was just so nice to be surprised. It's just so fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
So overall, I just had a super fun night. I had a fun night in the fandom too. Like, as we've talked about before on this show. Twitter is not always the best experience, but boy, is it fun for just everybody to be all tuned into the same thing at once, and just everybody's excited, everybody's amped, and then it's happening, and everybody flips out. Like, when Harry won, I was like, there is absolutely nothing that I want to do more right now than just meet up with everybody that I'm friends with online and all the Harry fans that I know, and just go somewhere and just scream Watermelon Sugar at the top of our lungs and, like, dance out to it, and, like, oh God, I want to do that so bad. And yeah, I felt the spirit of that online as much as we could, with everybody flipping out together over it. It was such a nice moment. And it's like, you know, the Fine Line era has been so special. It's pulled both of us in. Like, we weren't really Harry fans before this era. And Harry said himself, like, he doesn't make music for the Grammys. He doesn't make music for, you know, the recognition by bodies like the Recording Academy. And that being said, it's such a nice cap to the era and for all the special things that have happened over the past year to see that recognition from the biggest and most important music awards show. Like, it's just cool to see that recognition, you know.
Absolutely I was very, very happy to watch the awards last night. It was a good time. Okay, so now we're going to move into a fun little segment we like to call Must Get Rid of Toxic in Community, where we roast people with weird opinions on the internet. So we have two gems for you tonight. Sometimes we only have one, but this time we have two, and the second one is very special, but the first one is a doozy. So this made the rounds on Twitter, actually, but it's from a blog that I'm very familiar with, and it is a Harry hate blog, but this is between two anonymous people. So someone submitted with their whole chest to this blog, "I'm completely disgusted by the way he wore his "cross necklace" over his stupid banana dick necklace.
How dare they insult the banana dick necklace.
Parentheses, the cross is sitting on top of that stupid banana thing in his close-up Grammy shots. Like, how can you be so disrespectful? I'm done with this man now. He's awful. And then someone responded. So this take is already, we're already here. This is already nuclear.
I can't believe this was the last straw for someone.
Oh, it was, the last straw is blasphemy, I suppose. So someone saw this and then decided to send another message to this blog, doubling down on what this person said. I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought this. I understand Harry may not be a practicing Christian, and that's his choice, but that cross necklace isn't just a quote-unquote decoration you wear just because you think it looks cool. It actually means something to some people, so I don't know how you wouldn't have enough common sense to know that those two things don't work together and is disrespectful. I really wonder if he puts any thought into anything he does lately, sideways face.
That ending really makes it. Like, I don't know if it would be funny to me without somebody being like, he's wearing the two necklaces on the same chain. I really don't think he puts thought into what he does lately. Like, that's very funny to me.
I love that they're like, I understand that Harry may not be practicing Christian. Like, they're like acknowledging that he might not understand the meaning of Christianity or something, and that's why he blasphemed. What is this?
This is just, there's just a lot going on. And I would just like to say, as a former Catholic that is very, very lapsed, in that I don't believe in God, I'm just delighted at this juxtaposition, and I think it's great, and I enjoyed it heartily, and I would like to thank Harry for providing us all with that visual, and I can only hope for more blasphemous imagery going forwards.
Oh, man. In terms of the things that Harry's done that Catholic God would disapprove of, I don't feel like this is at the top of God's list. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not educated enough in the current church. I have been in and
out. Yeah, maybe dick necklaces are at the top of the no-no behavior, the new list that the Catholic Church put out this year.
Yeah. Key and I are not up on the no-no list. So, listeners, if you're up on the no-no list, tell us if the rankings have changed.
I do love, I know that this is like a hate blog, so like, is it shocking that people have bad opinions? No, but it is like, okay, he just won a Grammy Award. He performed a Grammy Award winning song. He wore three different outfits. And someone's like, do you know what my takeaway was? My takeaway was that these two pendants were on top of each other in photographs. That is my big takeaway from this year's Grammy Awards, which is just fascinating. It's a fascinating study in what people spend their time on and what people care about.
Yeah, we're gonna move on from this one because we have another special thing for you.
This one coming from someone with a slightly larger audience than an anonymous first on Tumblr.
So frequent listeners of our podcast may know that Harry Styles used to be in a different band. Like for for 5 years. I don't know if you've heard of this. I think their band was called One Direction. We talked about it in a whole episode. If you need to know more about One Direction.
Delved into that ancient history.
Yeah, ancient history. So one of his former bandmates named, I think it's pronounced Liam Payne. Liam Payne. He saw that Harry Styles won a Grammy Award and people were sending him memes, I guess. So Liam posted a meme to his Instagram that we have just tried to explain several times and have determined it is kind of incomprehensible vocally. So you're just going to have to trust that it's just a dumb meme.
It's difficult to explain memes over podcast, but you saw it. You probably saw it if you listened to this.
Right. So someone sent Liam a meme basically comparing Harry in a similar outfit to the One Direction boys. And Liam captioned it up top. This did make me chuckle, laughing emoji. And then on the bottom, congrats at HSHQ on your Grammy win. What a huge moment. Proud to be your brother? With the two up hands. Side note, congrats at Mr. Ben Winston on a great show. Many more to come, I'm sure. Again with the hands. So
yeah. So this is not like a must get rid of toxic in community. This is not a toxic post by any means. So this is definitely stretching this category that we do at the end of the show. But the reason why it's so entertaining to me is, why would he at
HSHQ?
Why would he do, like, I'm, Liam fascinates me, and this decision fascinates me as well.
It's so strange, and like, there's so many things I just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's sweet. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Liam shouting out Harry and saying that he's proud of him. Like, that's fine. That's sweet. That with the personal message juxtaposed with the adding of the brand account.
It's so weird.
It's very interesting. And I just, Liam, if you ever want to just sit down and grab coffee, I'd just like to talk to you and just get some insight into that brain of yours.
God. He would just talk to you about ghost shows for like a half an hour. Do you really want to sit down for lunch with a straight man? No, that's what happened when he interviewed on Happy Hour. Like, he talked about some interesting stuff for like 15 minutes, and then like a good chunk of the show was just him like going off about how much he loves ghost shows. Do you want to sit down with a straight man and have him mansplain ghost shows to you, Keith?
No, I really don't want that. And you're right to call me out on that lie that I just told.
Telling lies.
Anyways, I think we've talked enough about Liam Payne on our Harry Styles at the Grammys podcast.
All right, let's move into the outro. Key, are you looking forward to non-Harry things? Book, movie, TV recs, one non-Harry thing bring you joy?
Yeah, so as Gray would know, I recently got into the YouTube show Hot Ones. So we are continuing our weekly dive into pop cultural things I'm discovering that everybody's already known about for years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Hot Ones, the YouTube internet show where, that's repetitive, a YouTube show where celebrities are interviewed while eating progressively hotter hot wings. And yes, I'm fully on the Harry Styles on Hot Ones train at this point. I think you would really enjoy it. I think it would be a really interesting interview, as the interviewer, Sean, asks very interesting questions, which you might not expect from a show where the gig is about hot wings. So yeah, listeners, I would recommend the Pete Davidson episode of Hot Ones. I would recommend the Aubrey Plaza episode of Hot Ones, the Kiki Palmer episode of Hot Ones. I've been enjoying the show, watched a lot of it, have been eating some spicy food, getting inspiration from the show. So that is an internet deep dive that I've gone down recently.
I love that. I think that I would like to go back to what I referenced earlier in the podcast. I've been listening to the Mountain Goats. I've been listening to, they had an album come out in 2020 called In League with Dragons, and I'm getting into it. But I'm also really digging the Jordan Lake sessions. If you look them up on YouTube, in the depths of the pandemic, he emerged with like a full beard and like long hair, and he played some of his older songs. They're very cathartic. Definitely, like, if you need to have a good cry, like, put on This Year and start crying when he says there will be feasting and dancing in Jerusalem next year, because I know I did yesterday, but just real good stuff. A non-Harry thing bringing you joy in these difficult times. I just got vaccinated today.
Ooh.
My first dose.
Yay. Exciting.
If you can get vaccinated for any reason at all, please go get your vaccine. It's so important. I know a lot of people who are technically eligible but feel rather safe, like, are on the fence about getting a vaccine. But please, if you can, get your vaccine. Keep people safe. Live your life. We all have had just a really, really tough year. And we have, you know, probably years ahead of processing everything we've been through. And I definitely think, at least for me, like, getting vaccinated is at least place to start with all of that. So, I'm happy that I got vaccinated. Yeah.
Other than that, thanks, you guys. Thank you for the feedback on our last episode. We got a ton of views on, or more than we usually do, of YouTube views on that one. So yeah. Hello to our YouTube audience, question mark.
Hello, YouTube LGBT community.
Yeah, and it was just fun to get that Grammys episode up there quick. So we're going to try to do that with this one, too. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed it. I think it's like a little bit of a less structured episode this time. But we just wanted to get it out because the Grammys was so much fun. We had so much fun watching. We had so much fun discussing it with people online. And so we wanted to discuss it on the podcast and kind of get that out there. So if you have any Grammys thoughts that you don't think we got to on this episode, if you think we forgot anything big, or if you just want to share your opinions, you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com on Twitter and Tumblr. We can be found at Harry Styles Pod. You can follow us there, DM us there. And yeah, let us know what you think of the show. And so another way to do that is you can rate and review our podcast. And we'd so appreciate it if you just took 1 second and gave us a rating if you've enjoyed it.
Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening. We love you. Talk to you next time. Bye.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Do it now.